Jesus. Lord, we just give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place today to minister and to touch and to rebuke the enemy that so challenges our life from time to time. And God, I just pray right now for your Holy Spirit to come into this place. Anoint every ear and every heart to receive a fresh word from you today. Anoint my lips that I would speak forth the absolute truth of the word of God that would set us free. Father, we would not be intimidated by these things that we're going to discuss today, but that, Father, we'd be encouraged to know that you have a way of escape, that you have the power, that we have all power and authority in us. And Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we thank you for it. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about some of the title of my message, I think, kind of tells it all what we're going to talk about. I renounce you, Satan, and all your works and ways. I renounce you, Satan, and all your works and ways. One of the first steps to freedom in Christ is to renounce our previous and current involvement in any satanical, inspired occults or practices or false religions. We are to stay away from those things. We are not to be a part of that. And I think we all know that. And so, it's kind of curious to me that within our circles, we don't really talk about this unless it manifests itself. We don't try to talk about some of the things that we get involved in our lives. We may have tried many ways in the past to resolve our spiritual problems and find meaning to life. Any activity or group that denies Christ, offering guidance through any source other than the absolute authority of the written word, must be forsaken. You know, there are a lot of self-help groups. I mean, if you read the right stuff, you actually know that you can get out on a limb. I mean, there are things out there that are being told by others that have a good philosophy behind it, that sound good. The Bible even talks about that in the last days that our ears will itch so greatly for words that comfort us, that bring us to saying, "Oh yeah, that must be right because I feel so much better now," and I'm telling you that there is such a mix. Not too long ago, I'm not going to tell you who it was because he's hugely popular, okay, he's a hugely popular author and pastor and preacher, so I'm not going to tell you who it is, but a friend of mine gave me a tape to listen to from him. And in this tape, okay, he was describing himself as a modern day mystic, okay, that believed in Jesus. And he was describing himself so that New Age people would understand what he was talking about. And he was calling things of God in a wrong, in using a worldly context or a satanic context to try to explain the godly. And I just turned the tape off. I thought to my, and I thought to myself, and I even told my friend, he goes, "So what'd you think?" And I said, "You know, I turned it off right when he said he was a mystic." And he goes, "Oh, no, he was just using that as an illustration." I said, "He said he was a mystic, a biblical mystic." I go, "He's not of God. That's wrong. I mean, he may in his heart know God and be talking about God, but he's a mess. I don't want to listen to that because I'm already messed up enough. I mean, I don't need any help from somebody leading me down the wrong thing." Listen, if I cannot absolutely define it in the Word of God, I don't really care about it. I shouldn't care about it. It's so many. Oftentimes you'll hear people when they're doing stuff that's a little strange, they'll say, well, I can't really prove this in the Bible, but I know it's God. Okay, look. Don't do that. If you can't prove it in the scripture that it's God, don't do it. And listen, if you get to heaven and God says, hey, listen, I had this for you, but you know, I know it was outside my word, and I wanted you to do it anyways, I'm sure he's gonna let you in anyway. But I'll say this, if you get up there and he's judging you, and you're wondering why you're standing on the wrong side of the fence, and he said, look, that wasn't part of what I wanted you to do, but God, I thought it was you. Well, I understand you thought it was me, but it wasn't me. I would rather err on the side of the Bible than to err on what I think might be from God. Does that make sense? Because you will always be right if you err on the side of the Bible. Well, this is what the Bible tells me. But I know all you folks are doing all this fun stuff, and it looks all fun and fancy and dancy, but I I'm having a hard time finding it in the Bible. And if you can show me where this has happened, then I'm for it. And listen, I'm for swinging from the chandeliers, running down the aisles, I'm for being excited about God, because I can find all that stuff in the Bible. I can find where people were excited about praising God. So I'm not talking about those kind of manifestations in worship to God. I'm talking about where people do strange things and blame God for it. The Word says this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare it to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. Now listen, this is not talking about being perfect, but this is talking about walking in the power of God, in the covenant of God's relationship, just like we took communion this morning and reminded ourselves of. This is talking about walking in the power and the authority of God and not wavering from that power and authority and making excuses for our lifestyle. If these words come out of your mouth, you could be in trouble. Well, God will just love me anyways. If you have to say, well, God will just have to love me anyways because he made me this way, you're in big, big trouble. Trouble, because God made you holy, pure, and righteous just like him. And it was sin that messed you up and made you any other way than the description of how you should be in the Bible. It is a historical sin, a generational sin that has been passed down from generation, a lie from the enemy that says that you are deceived in some area of your life and you think it's okay. That is a deception from the devil. And you could be in trouble if you don't recognize those deceptions and say, I am not like I think I am. I am like God says I am. It's not how you feel you should be. It's how he says you are. That's the kind of saint, the kind of person, that's the goal, that's the destination. I am trying to be Christ-like. Are you Christ-like, Tim? Well, you catch me right after I pray. You know what I'm saying? And I try to pray a lot. You know, listen, I just was listening to T.D. Jakes. And he was talking about, hey, none of us are in perfection, but the stronger and the closer we get to God, the greater the battle is when no one's watching. He said, if people knew, he even said this, I believe he was talking about himself. He said, if people knew the war that we go through in private, They would never respect us publicly. I think the greater the anointing, the greater the ministry of the pastor. There's a battle that rages on every one of us. Don't think that any of us are immune to this. But that it's because there's an enemy, a deceiver, that would desire to move us away from the power of God that so rests inside of us, that so wants to come out of us. It's not out like in out, but out like in a manifestation of God's power in us. Does that make sense? Because I didn't want to get that wrong. We're not trying to get God out of us, right? We're trying to manifest God. Amen? The early church, including in its public declarations of faith, included, "I renounce you, Satan, and all your works and ways." The Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and many liturgical churches still require this as a part of their confessional, as part of their confirmation. When you become a believer in one of these, you know, like the Eastern Orthodox Church or the Catholic Church or a lot of these liturgical churches, they require you to renounce Satan, his works, and his ways. They require that as part of your confirmation. So when you're standing up there saying, "I'm believing in God," you gotta say that I'm renouncing all this other junk that I've been involved in. For some reason, it has disappeared from most evangelical churches, though. The only time we talk about it is when guys' heads start spinning on the front row and we have to pray out the demons. I mean, that's when we talk about casting out demons, getting rid of junk in our lives. Other than that, we just kind of, you know, we don't talk about it because it's too sensitive. People think, "Oh, man, pastor's gone off the deep end now. He's talking about devils and Satan." Mm-mm. We must not only choose the truth. We must not only choose the truth, but we must reject Satan and his lies. It's not enough that you know the truth or that you acknowledge that the truth is there. You must acknowledge that the lie is there. That you have been deceived. Even me. That we've all been deceived at some point by this lie. I usually try not to say anything because on this one person's post on Facebook, mainly because there's so many people that follow this one person that you get in that your phone just goes and blows up because you're connected now in this thread where hundreds of people start putting in their input. And so I usually try not to get involved in it, but I was reading some of the comments and I just had to say something. Because the one guy said something and it irritated me, what he said. And it was about the issue of abortion. And he said, "Oh, wouldn't it be great if we could show this picture," because it was a really pretty picture, "instead of those gross pictures from angry people." And I said, so I text back to him and I said, "Well, are you standing out there with the pretty picture? Because I do. I stand out there with the pretty picture. And I'm just wondering, why shouldn't we be angry? Why shouldn't we be angry? Because we've killed over 50 million babies since this thing started. We've killed more than Hitler. And we're running up really close within the next 2 years of surpassing Stalin." "Oh, but people, this is..." And so then somebody told me, you know, somebody texted... that, you know, the actual person that wrote the thing texted me and said, "Tim, I think you missed the point." And so I apologized to the guy. I said, "Well, I apologize then." Then he commented back to me and said, "Hey, I've been a pro-life guy for 25 years. I've been out on the streets doing it. And even one of my friends beat up." He goes, "I was talking more about me and about a friend of mine who beat up this pro-choice person." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, I stand out in front of mine, and this is what my sign says, and I'm not angry. In fact, I'm moved with compassion over the girls that go in and the workers that go in. I'm moved with compassion for those people because I'm mad at the deceiver." And then one girl had written on there that she thought this was a woman's issue. And I said, you know what? Before Christ, I was a part of the killing. I was. Before Christ, I was part of the killing. I've told girls to get them. I've been a part of the killing. I've got children. I've got at least one that I know of that's in that was mine. And several others where I just encouraged other women to do it. I was a part of it. And I said, and I'm adopted. I said, not that that makes me qualified, but I serve a Jesus who is. See, sometimes we think that that we're being complicit to so many things. We're told that we're supposed to be, and I don't mean to be rude or nothing, okay? We're told that we're supposed to be okay with all these other religions. Muslim, and oh, just love the Muslim because some of them are just so nuts. Man, I'm telling you, if you are a Muslim and you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are going to hell. I don't care who you are. If you're a Mormon, you're messed up. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're messed up. And I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be rude. If you think the Metropolitan Church that licensed homosexuals is okay, you're in trouble. You just want to be nice, you're in trouble. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to tell. And Mr., I say this in the most compassion and love. And believe me, Art knows because he's seen me out there on the street. I am moved with compassion when I see these people go to kill their children. I'm moved with compassion about it. I don't want to go down there and beat up some doctor. I want to go down there and get them saved. I want them to just stop. There is no middle ground to truth. There is no middle ground with truth. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 23, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." There are not many paths to God. There's only one way to God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Christians are not being narrow-minded when they make a stand on what God's declared. I'm not trying to be narrow-minded here. I'm not trying to be rude or mean to anyone, but there's only one way to heaven, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that's it. That is absolutely it. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, in the Corinthian church, which was one of the most Pentecostal, wild, crazy, God-moving, God-fearing churches on the planet. These guys are the example. Whether you want Pentecost or don't want Pentecost, you go to 2 Corinthians because it was crazy there. Hey, everybody that defends Pentecost goes to 2 Corinthians. Everyone that's against Pentecost goes to 2 Corinthians. Because everything was happening in this church. And this is exactly what this sums up all of the battle right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. Paul says, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from which you have not received, or a different gospel from which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Listen, Paul's fear in the early church was that other people would come along and say, listen, I know these Jesus freaks are just talking about Jesus, but there's way more to it than just Jesus. Let's talk about all the other stuff except Jesus. This is where the danger comes in. It is about Jesus. Other religions and cults may talk about Jesus, but they present him in another way than the way he's presented in the scriptures. They may talk about the same historical Jesus, but they don't talk about the Son of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the Great I Am. In John chapter 8, verse 24, at the end there, in the second part of the verse, Jesus said, "For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." I don't know how you could get any more clear, okay? Jesus said, look, if you don't believe that I am the Savior, the one, I am he, the one in whom the Father has sent to forgive all your sins and make you in right relationship with God, if you do not believe that, if you do not believe the gospel which I have shared with you and the apostles are going to share with you, if you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. Plain and simple. It's not rocket science. It's simple. The simplicity of the gospel. I say this over and over again all the time. Why is there only one way to heaven? So you wouldn't be confused. God just made it real simple. He didn't say, look, here's one way, here's another way, here's another way. He said, there's one way. Why? So that when someone else came to you with a different way and said, no, here's a different way. I know that way will work too, but this way will work too. No, it won't. There's just one way. One way. And it's so that us simple-minded, foolish preachers wouldn't get it wrong. So we can make sure we got it right. Listen, there's just one way. I can't explain it to you 10,000 different ways. It's just one little way. It's through the blood of Jesus. If you don't want to go through that door, you're going to die in your sins. It's pretty simple. If you believe in Jesus in any other way than how he's presented in the Bible, you will receive a different spirit from the Holy Spirit, and a different gospel than the gospel of grace. If you try to do it any other way than what's written in the Bible. And listen, there's an enemy out there that it's going to that. As we go through some steps on how to renounce Satan and all of his works and ways, we can ask God's help when we pray in the following way. And so, I've written some things. They're in your notes in the thing, and so you can take them home with you, and you can go over them, and do this. Now here's the thing that I want to talk to you about before I go into. Well, let me see where I'm at here. I want to see what I want to say here. Let me read a couple of things, and then I'll tell you what I've been just itching to say. Dear Heavenly Father, this is how you pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to reveal to me all the occultic practices, false religion, false teachers, with which I have knowingly and unknowingly been involved in. Just ask him. And then as he begins to reveal some things to you that you know are not the right thing to have been involved in. Listen, when I was BC, before I was with Christ, I don't know if some of you, probably none of you know this because none of you used to go to bars and stuff before you got saved. But they used to, it was really popular in the 80s, and I don't know how popular it is now, but it was popular in the 80s, in the 90s. Not that I know much about the 90s except for that I bumped into them every once in a while. To have hypnotists come in and hypnotize the patrons and make them do strange and weird things. You know, hey, first of all, it's bad enough when you hypnotize somebody, they do weird stuff. And then you just, when they're drunk, they even do weirder stuff. And so, I've been hypnotized. In fact, I'm very susceptible to it. It doesn't take much at all, you know. It's like, look into my finger, and I'm done. So whenever I'm at the state fair, I leave. When I see the hypnotist come up, I leave. I leave the whole place. I leave, I get out of earshot from him. I don't even want to hear anything he's got to say. Yeah, you know why? Because some of you have been standing out there in the crowd and agreed with some of the things that he said. And then you got it in your head, and then you're messed up now. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. That stuff is deceptive. That stuff is bad. And so if you've been around that stuff and seen that stuff, hey, you know what you should do? You should probably say, Lord, I confess to you that I've participated in the following, which is the next part here. After you write down some of the stuff God showed you, you just say right here, you say, Lord, I confess that I've participated in this. And I ask your forgiveness, and I renounce that this thing that I participated in is a counterfeit truth to Christianity. Now, it's not hard, is it? Is that hard? That's not hard. And you walk away from some of that stuff. Listen, I'm telling you, some of you, through and bless your hearts, don't feel bad if you have to write down several things, okay? Because if I was to make a list, you know, beforehand, which I have already, but if I'm, oh, I got a long list. Many hurting people like you and like me have both been misguided in the world, that it's filled with cults and false religions and false teachers. I have studied, I have looked at, I have bought into, I have followed some of the craziest stuff before I was a Christian. Even sometimes as a Christian, I got to be careful. There are people that as a believer, you think you're doing the right thing, and the next thing you know, you get involved in something that you wish you hadn't have gotten involved in. Amen, brother? And then all of a sudden, you're like going, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You have to renounce. You have to say, this was not true Christianity. This is not, devil, you are a liar. You try to deceive me, take me down the wrong path. I don't want to be down the wrong path. I want to be down the right path. Amen? I want to follow after the things of God. And you've got to get some of those things out. And there's some stuff that happens on TV that sounds good that ain't good. And you've got to determine whether it's a Bible thing or just a worldly thing. And you've got to follow after the Bible things. Now Satan doesn't want us to be free. He'd be willing to do whatever he can to keep us completely from completing these steps. Now, some of you are sitting here probably today, and some of you by tape even may be thinking, oh, man, Pastor just went off on something weird today, talking about rebuking the devil and all that stuff. Don't do it then, and stay the mess you are. I'm telling you, when I began to study this stuff this last week, I wrestled with it. I thought, God, should I tell everybody this? Because I know it's true, but should I really tell everybody this? Because I don't want them to think I'm some kook chasing after the devil. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Every one of us go home and war against principalities and powers and things that are not from God. We all do it. Every one of us. And to me, this is the simplest way to just get rid of it. Why not get rid of it? Why would we hold back from renouncing the work of the enemy just because it sounds weird? It's like, oh, well, I don't want people thinking I'm battling with the enemy. He's battling with you. And if he can fool you into thinking that you don't need to be in a battle with him, he's perfectly all right with that. That's what I was thinking this week. I'm thinking, you know, as crazy as you folks may think I've become this week, I'll be normal next week, but this week, I'm going to tell you, we may need to renounce some things. We may need to go back on our own, and I'm not saying you need to make some public spectacle of this, but you may be battling in areas of your life right now that come from something you submitted yourself to 10, 15, 20 years ago. Some lie the enemy told you, like you're ugly, or you're going to be this, or you're never amount to this, or you listen to some lie. You listen to some lie from some guy or girl that didn't have anything to didn't want to benefit you in any way but just bring you down. And you believe that you have to be an alcoholic, or you have to be hooked on drugs, or you have to be hooked on this or hooked on that, or a part of this or a part of that, just because it's part of who you are. It's because somebody told you a long time ago this is what happens. I have a friend that refuses to have kids because his father molested him. And he's afraid because statistically it goes down generation after generation. If you were molested, then you might molest your own kids. So he's so fearful of that might happen that he's not going to have any kids. I thought to myself, what a lie from the pit of hell. That guy is now deceived into believing that that he's going to follow after the path of his father. No, you don't. He does not. None of us do. We don't have to follow after the junk people have put in our lives. After the mistakes that we've made, after the choices that we've made, we do not have to let those things be our lives. They are a lie from the devil and must be renounced out of our lives. We must speak to them clearly so that when the devil comes and reminds you of these things of your past, you got the Polaroid. So you can say, no, I renounce that thing on this day. It is under the blood of Jesus and it has no foothold in my life. And you destroy the work of the enemy in your life. We all have stuff. Every one of us. And sometimes it takes to just root it out and just say, you know what? I remember the first time I ever looked at that thing in the magazine. I remember my first National Geographic. And you renounce that thing and you move on. Do you know what I'm saying? Guys, do you know what I'm saying? Girls, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but guys, you know what I'm saying. Oh, thank you, Dave. You're the man. You saw it scratching up, didn't you? Okay. Now, for those of you at home listening by home, this is gulping. Thank you. Oh, I feel much better now. Psalms 51 says this. Behold, you desire the truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to be known wisdom, to know wisdom. When David lived a lie, he suffered greatly. When he finally found freedom by acknowledging the truth, David wrote this in Psalms 32:2. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David was set free. There are things that have irritated you for a long time in your life, that they just keep reoccurring. Maybe this is you. Maybe you've already done all this and then you've got no problems anymore. But maybe there's something that you have just had laid back there in secret. That you've had laid back there in secret. That you haven't told people about. That you have struggled and battled in your own mind. And you have allowed the enemy to have this little foothold where he keeps being able to just shove himself in there every once in a while. I'm saying, this is how you do it. You say, I renounce that thing that I let get into my life, and I confess the blood of Jesus, and I ask you, Lord, for your forgiveness, and I renounce this thing that was a counterfeit to what was in my life, and I renounce it right now in the name of Christ, and you fill in the blank there, and you get that thing out of your life. And you destroy the works of the enemy in your life. And you say to Satan, Satan, I renounce you. I renounce all your works and all your ways. I renounce that stuff. I don't want that stuff moving into my life. I do not want that operating in my life anymore. And I destroy the works of the enemy. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And all a power and authority in heaven and earth has been given unto you to destroy the works of the enemy. We've talked about this many times. Do you know when Jesus is coming back? I do. You want to know when? When every enemy has been made his footstool. And you know what? It starts with me and you renouncing the work of the enemy in our lives, destroying his work every day in our lives, recognizing the difference between a godly life and a life of this world, and walking in a life of this world, knowing that God, you are my power, you are my source, you are my... And every time the enemy tries to come in, remember like we talked about last week, on the street, the gauntlet of life, as we're walking down the street and the enemy is hollering from every window to try to distract us from the truth. We follow after the things of God because we renounce the things of the enemy and we push them aside and we move forward in the things of God. This is what God has called us to do. We lay aside all these falsehoods, and we begin to speak the truth in love. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and then verse 25, it says, "But speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ." Verse 25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Listen, folks, as much as I would like to avoid these kind of strange and supernatural conversations with you, they are very necessary. The truth is, we have to renounce the enemy. The truth is that if we even are in the least bit compliant with the things that are of the devil, we're in trouble. There is no compromise from the truth. Do you know why this nation is circling the drain? Because they've turned. They've turned from the right word of God. They've tried to mealy mouth, wash away, destroy all of our forefathers' writings and thoughts that this is a godly country and that we are to seek after Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. They have tried to destroy all that and say all these other things are okay. Listen, when you drive by and you see that little Hare Krishna thing on the, with, you know, that Christ is all these things, you know, that everything, there's not a bunch of ways. That thing is the biggest lie from the enemy. There's not a bunch of ways. And believe me, every people group, every they all got their religions. Everybody's got their stuff. But they're all wrong. There's only one right way. And it's through Jesus. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be unloving. In fact, I love the world so much that I'm willing to tell them Jesus is the only way. God loved the world so much that he was willing to tell them that Jesus was the only way. Now, I have a prayer that I put in there as well, and I'm going to read that and then we're going to close. But I have a prayer that I've written in there that I think you'll like. I don't know if I'm going to read all the scriptures that I have written in there. I do have them written in there, though, so that you can see the references that I'm talking about in my prayer. Okay? And so if you look in your bulletin, you can see this. It's on the back side of your notes and stuff. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you desire truth in my inner self, and that facing this truth is always the way of liberation. So when I face the truth of God, it brings liberty to my life. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I acknowledge that I have been deceived myself. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you, Heavenly Father, will rebuke all deceiving spirits by the virtue of the shed blood and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since by faith I have received you into my life and am now seated with Christ in heavenly places, I command all deceiving spirits to depart from me now. I now ask the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. And I pray the prayer of Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in ways of everlasting. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I recommend that you stick this in your Bible, that you open it up, that you go through these steps, that you go through the steps of taking care of some of the business you may not have taken care of. And I know that if I was to ask right now, is there anyone in here right now that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, which I'm going to ask in a minute, that none of you are probably going to raise your hand because all of you have accepted Christ as your Savior. But that doesn't make you immune to some of the footholds that the devil still has in our lives. And that we need to go back sometimes, and we need to, listen, it's not the advancement of the internet and all the possible things that we could read and write about and all these things. There's so much stuff out there. You know, I'm blessed because I'm a terrible reader. And you know why I'm blessed? Because I'm a terrible reader. Because I won't read everything. Because I will only read stuff until I don't like it. And then I throw it away. You know, because it's so hard for me to read. It's so difficult for me to get through enough material that when I start reading something, if someone is way whacked, I just, gone. I'm done. I don't even read it anymore. I just put it away because I don't have time. And I've had so many people tell me, oh, you need to read this guy's book. I said, yeah, but I got to this one part. I did start reading it. And then I got to this one part. And I got to tell you, man, he was way off. And he goes, yeah. You gotta eat the meat and spit out the bones. I said, no, my Bible is okay. I'm not spitting any bones out of my Bible. And they're like, oh. And then there are other guys that write about the Bible that aren't off to me. And I would much rather read their stuff. Because nowhere along the way do they tell me something that I'm like, I don't know, buddy. I don't think that's right. I don't want to argue with the author of a book that I'm trying to read. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so much stuff out there, even today, while you're in your walk with Christ, that you may have gotten off track. You may start accepting other things. You may accept, a Mormon may come up to you and seem like a really nice person and give you a Book of Mormon. You got to recognize and say, thank you very much. Please take their literature, all of you. Jehovah Witnesses, all that stuff. Just, and then when they leave, burn it, destroy it, so someone else doesn't get it. I probably shouldn't have said in the room. They won't come to my house. They don't come to my house. Well, if they did, they'd get a real, I'm sorry. In fact, one time, a friend of mine did this, so I did it one time. I was home from work, and a Jehovah's Witness came up to my door one time, and they knocked on my door. This was when I lived in West Sacramento. So he came to my door, and he said, hey, can I, and I said, you know what, I'm not interested in talking to you right now, but let me go grab my Bible. And he goes, well, why is that? And I go, because I'm going to follow you down the street. And every door you knock on that someone responds to, I'm going to knock on it again and tell them the truth. And the guy left my street. He just left. He goes, well, and I walked outside with my Bible, and he just walked all and just left. Left my street. Get off my street. I'm going to follow you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The truth. It's the truth. There's no black and white about it. There's no. It's black and white. There's no middle ground. In fact, it's just red. It's just red letters. There's no middle ground there. There's not another way. There's not other options. We believe in Jesus and Him only. And we rebuke, we send away, we renounce all the work of the enemy that would try to destroy the gospel that would save a man and save mankind. Amen? The thing that would set people free. We renounce all the works of the devil. We come against him. And there's deception all over the world. And we have got to be careful not to get sucked into this. Oh, everything's okay. No, it's not okay. This is the only thing that's going to make it all okay. I'm telling you, the only thing that's going to change this country is if everybody gets saved, turns their life over to Jesus, and starts serving other people instead of serving their own greed. Oh, don't get me started on all that. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We right now, we just renounce the work of the enemy and the deception of the enemy that would tell these people right now that this is not a necessary step in their life, that they should just brush it off and not think to give it a second thought, but that they should take these things home. They should pray and ask you, God. And I believe that there are those here today, right now, that if we have, as we have shared this word and talked about it, are spotting things in their past that are affecting their present. And they're spotting things back there, and they're saying, you know what, I don't know if I ever renounced that work of Satan in my life, and I'm going to renounce it now and make sure it's gone and good and dead and buried. And then it's going to change my future. And God, I just pray that there are those here today that will make those steps, that will do those things that are necessary to continue to move forward in the glory and the power of God. If, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the time to make that change. You lift up your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure you're on the right path, that you know Jesus as your Savior. Thank you. And you just raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Lord, we just love you. We thank you. We thank you for your power to destroy the works of the enemy. God, it's not us that destroys the work of the enemy, but it's the power of Jesus Christ that breaks the bonds that hold us, that breaks the strongholds of the enemy in our lives. And Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to destroy the work of the devil. And Father, we just loose that right now into our lives. And we destroy and renounce the work of Satan with his ways. We renounce him right now in the name of Jesus. He has no place operating in our lives. We just move him out and let God move in. Let our house not be empty, but let it be filled with the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Let our house not go empty, but let it be filled with the Word of God, with the presence of God in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.